Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Amen. Nothing should break your focus. You stay focused on God. Do what you need to do with so much fervency. By the end of this year, you'll be surprised. Amen.
Amen.
Simon Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, tapping into God's promises. That's my title. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us. Our faith is very precious. By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You say amen.
Amen.
Uh-huh. As his divine power has given to us, not some things, has given to us, not some things, not half-measured things, but has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So God has given to us all things that pertain to life, that relates to life and godliness. Has given you all things. Don't allow the devil lie to you. If there's any area the devil is lying to you, if there's any area of your life where the devil is lying to you, ignore it. Apply the word of God. God has given you all things. He has given you happiness in your marriage. You may not see it yet, but don't give up on it.
Amen.
Are you listening? He has given you prosperity. You may not see it yet, but don't give up on it. Because my Bible tells me he has given me all things that relates to life. And it says godliness. In other words, I have the power to be holy. Holiness and taking care of carnal things is within my... I have the ability. He has given me the ability to stay righteous. God has given you the ability to stay righteous. He has given you the ability to say no to this world, to say no to the things that will affect your relationship with him. So you have the power not to compromise. You have the power. And it says through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. That through these exceedingly great and precious promises, through these you may be partakers. So it is through the promises that we become partakers. We become partakers of what? Of the divine nature. So this year of his promises means that the divine nature of God is going to reflect through us.
Amen.
Oh, amen. I'm preaching to myself. I said the divine nature of God will reflect, that is, the things that men consider impossible, the divine nature of God in you through his promises. In other words, as you hold on and collapse your faith, your thoughts, your mind, your focus on the promises of God, his divine nature is like a man that has been touch electricity. Many years ago, I touched a live wire. Oh. Has anybody done that before? Eh? Exactly. Yeah? Exactly. You've told that live wire. It's not funny. It's that thing is not funny. It just comes boom. That's what it does. You feel boom. That's what it does. Live. And that is what. So you know one funny thing? So basically what you are is that you are conducting electricity. That's the truth. Right? If you stay there long enough, seriously, but if you stay there long enough and they put a bulb on you, you will light it. No. Serious, true of us. Yeah. It's just that the difference is that your heart can't take it. Your heart cannot take the shock wave, the power, the volt that passes through your body. Your heart can't take it. That's why they die. You're laughing. No, it is true. I may be a physics dropout, but that is what happens. So your body is what? Conducting electricity. So your body can so it's your boom. Oh, my own was in secondary school. I know curiosity almost killed me. They said go and change the light bulb. I was in Form 3. I climbed the desk. And then because it was daytime and the lights were off, I removed the bulb, right? And I saw I wonder what happens if I... I wonder what happened, almost happened to me. I just... And it was boom. In fact, I couldn't scream. It was so quick. All I was... And I came down. And I came down. And I stood there. And I said... Come on, say power. That is what he says. That you hold on to his promises, and you will conduct divine power through you like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you conduct divine power. And that means so the very nature of God is what you hold on to through his promises. The very nature of God. You hold on to that long enough, you become like him. In every area. The area where you are successful today is the area where you have held on to God. The area where you are not successful is the area where you are not holding on to God. So his promises, he says, but that through these you become partaker of the divine nature. So through this, through holding on to his promises, you become a partaker, you become his divinity. The power surge of the Holy Spirit goes through your mortal body. That's what it means. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is how we live. And so we hold on to those promises. We believe in them. We refuse to be distracted. We will refuse to hold on to any contrary or alternative solution. Do you understand what I'm saying? We hold on. We hold on. Until the divine nature is fully processed inside us. At the end of that thing, you become a god. That's why he said, when Moses had an encounter with him, and then he blessed him, and then he gave him a staff, what did he tell him? I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. The man that catches that revelation, to catch that revelation is to know that I know that I know. And that point of conviction conducts spiritual power through you. Does that make sense? It conducts spiritual power through you. And that means that then it makes you one with divine nature. Does that make sense? So basically make you a god on earth. He said, I've made you a god unto Pharaoh. In other words, wherever you show up, it's like I'm standing next to you. Power will come. That is why when he got to the palace, they threw down his staff. They also mimicked his staff, and they came out with serpents. He said, well, this serpent swallowed up. They are serpents. Because we're talking about the manifestation of divinity. That will be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. So we know what, so these promises, so it's important that we focus on the promises. So what is a promise? Definition. A promise is a transaction between two or more persons whereby the first person undertakes in the future to render some service or gift to the others or devote something valuable now and here to his use. A promise is a transaction, period. Between two people, two or more persons, whereby the first person, God, undertakes in the future to render some service or gift to those or to others or devote something valuable now and here to his use. So a promise is that it's something of the future that God will devote. So we understand that bit. In fact, when you are raising kids, I don't know how you raise yours, right? But we tell our children, always keep your promise. Only in England. Always keep your promise. Where I come from, they don't keep promises. They don't even know what promise is. They don't keep promises. But in England, we keep promises. At least we tell our kids, keep your promise. They said, your word is your what? Your bond. And so, in the past, people enter transactions without signing anything. They call it a gentleman's handshake. A gentleman's handshake. That I believe that you will do what you say. You try the one where I come from, all your money is gone. When they don't show up, you say, so where did I sign? But not here. Many years ago, they used to do that. Until we show up. I come from a nation of Amidala. I'm not insulting any country. I just said my nation is not on the map. They used to do that. A man is the word. Say, you are who? We say we'll give you this credit card. When you spend it, you will pay a certain amount at the end of the month. Say, yeah, just can I have two, please? Can I have two, please? The pay and pay. So pay with a promise to pay in the future. So I will advance you 30 days credit. Buy this one now. If you pay it off end of the month, no charge. But if you don't, 5%. Is that a promise? He said, no problem. Take two. Then I start chasing you to pay the. He says, how it works? Wow, very easy. And then here comes post office application. You just fill on the paper, send it off. They will put it in the post, right? So put it in the post and send it to you. Before you know it, you have 10. 10 credit cards and 10 promises. And you promised all of them. And they trusted you. That you must be a very responsible person. Isn't it? That at the set date, after spending that money, 0% credit for 30 days, and at the end of that 30 days, if you pay it off, no problem. But if you don't pay it off, at least honor your promise and pay the charge. 5 years later, they are still looking for you. Very bad. Very bad. That is why we think God is the same. Because you know you've taken certain things and not honored it. You think that when he says that we're made in the image of God, you think that's how God is. A crooked person thinks everybody is crooked. A crooked person thinks everyone is crooked. He says to the pure, all things are pure. But to the crooked, he believes everything is crooked. True. Praise the Lord. So, Joshua 21 verse 45. So please, if your finances are not in order, or you are owing organizations, don't run away. Call them and negotiate with them. Keep your promise so that God can keep his own promise with you as well. Because what you are refusing to pay is somebody's profit. You cannot eat that profit and ask God to bless you. That's not how it works. Don't run away. Sit down and say, look, this is my circumstance. Can we talk about this? All right? So, Joshua 21 verse 45 says, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. It will come to pass in your life this month. Yeah. I said it will come to pass in your life this month. Nothing, none, not a word failed. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All. He said it's the month of his promise. It means all is coming to pass this year. All. Not some. This gets me going. Not a word. Not one word failed. It didn't fail before. It won't fail on your own account. It didn't fail before your time. It won't fail in your own time. It did not fail in other people's homes. It won't fail in your own home. Your life will not be the one to register that the word of God failed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so if this is what is spoken about God, my brothers and sisters, this is how we live. This is how we live. You are either a believer or you are not. You are either a believer or you are not. There is nothing called unbelieving believers. And when we say we are believers, what we are saying is that we believe what is written about Jehovah. And we believe what he has done in the past. We believe that he will do the same thing for us. But we have to do what every other person has done to make him do what he did in their lives. Are you listening to me tonight? And so we see that we have already established, this has already told me that, listen, if I don't get it, it's not God's fault. If I don't get it, it is not God's fault. Because I have seen in scripture that not a word failed of anything good which he had spoken to the house of Israel. It all came to pass. Why? So that means that the other, there are two people involved in this, in this promise, God and myself. And I have established that God, not a word failed in all that God have said to his people. Why should he fail in my time? So that then means that the issue is not God. The issue is myself, the other party. So we see a striking example in the Bible. He told them that he was taking them to a land flowing with milk and honey. A God who makes things happen. God whose word never fails, right? Gave them a word, and they did not make it. They left. Many of them never arrived. Why? Because of their unfaithfulness. Because of their unfaithfulness. If you don't see it, it's not God. If it doesn't come to pass, it is not God. So settle your mind, to settle yourself to make sure that you are in alignment and you are determined to dot your I's and cross your T's to enable God to do what he wants to do in your life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we saw, and so at some point, they provoked God so much. He told their leaders, say, listen, you know what? I have had enough. I have had enough. In fact, you know what? This promise, you're not going to get in. I'm going to give it to your children. Okay? Because I've had enough of your unfaithfulness. I've had enough of your promise. Of your complaint, your murmuring. And then he stood back. And guess what? Many of them, the Bible says, perished. Perished. It was their children who went to Canaan. But for two people. And the Bible said about those two people, said they had a different heart. So it means that it is your heart that determines how God responds to you. So set your heart in order. Set your heart. It is your heart that determines how God responds, because he will make every word come to pass. But the question is, can your heart receive that word? Will you align your heart to ensure that God does what he wants to do in your life? So let me give you three things tonight that will help us. We are talking about tapping into God's promises. Tapping into God's promises. Number one, know the source of this promise. Know the source of this promise. These are the promises of God. Please, settle this in your spirit. The promises that God has given to us, these are the promises of God. It says the promises of God are yea and amen. Praise the Lord. Then in 2003, when this church started, he gave us a word. He said, my people, my children, they will come from afar. They will come. We were in a Temple Hill in Dartford. He said, they will come. I said, Lord, I can't see it. How can they come? He said, but they will come. They will come. They will come. I said, well, okay, Lord, if you said they will come, then I believe you. I won't give up. I believe you. I won't give up. I will stand and keep declaring your word until your people show up. It was the greatest, the longest ride of my life, I'm telling you. I when it just started. Then I said, they said, you are a shepherd and you are the sheep of his pasture. Where did I get these goats from? You know when you have sheep. Sheep just follow. They just follow. That's what I thought I was on for. But the first few years back, I was heading goats from nowhere, headbutt. headbutt. What kind of goats? What kind of goats? See ya. If not for his promises. I still had my contacts in the marketplace. Oh my goodness. In fact, for a long time, ask Pastor Bola, for a long time, when the agents come and say, oh, well, I'm not available at the moment, I was still telling them. As if I was on a project. For a long time, it was a project. When the agencies call me, I say, yeah, I'm not. I say, when will you be available? I say, can you be coming back in 3 months' time? Yeah. So one day, Pastor Bola said, when are you going to tell these guys you're not coming back? I said, I said, I don't know. I don't know. I have to wait for this sheep to become, this goat to be converted to sheep. His word. Do you know how many pastors pack it up every day? Not because God did not call them. Stress. Do you know how many pastors pack it up? I said every day. Because of stress. Goats in sheep clothing. They just stress you. Just stress you. I was speaking to one pastor the other day. I said, how are you? He said, the people, they don't like my wife. I said, why? He said, I don't know. He said, they are just constantly at loggerheads with my wife. I said, what do you mean they don't like your wife? He said, I said, they don't like my wife. I said, what does your wife do that you don't like her? He said, she's just in church. I go, I said, like what? Like, what is the, how you don't like the wife of the pastor? He said, but sometimes she goes and sings in the choir. I said, He said, man of God, but my wife loves singing. I said, I said, okay. Should she not sing? I said, she can sing. The guy was stressed out. See, at some point, they can't even choose between the church and my wife. I love my wife. Hey, look at that. Choose your wife. Come here. If you try me like that, Pastor Bola, she was at her place of work, the place where she had spent years. One day, the MD was mucking around. The MD was trying to harass her. MD. Because she was there as a operational director's level before she came to join the ministry. And then one day she called me and she was in tears, very sad. That way, you know what I told her? I said, Bola Nle. I was waiting on the Lord when she called in Chatham. I said, Bola Nle, drop this phone right now. Go walk straight into your MD's office. Tell him that you are not coming back tomorrow morning. Bolale. He said, what? I said, go and tell him that you are not here tomorrow morning. Go and tell him. Don't hang up. Don't tell me you are on your way to the That was it. Didn't go back. So this man was stressed out. If not for God's promises, maybe me too. By now, maybe I'm just one way. Just who is making you cry, then? They say all these people. I don't like the answer. Okay, we are not doing it again. We're not doing it again. Because I told God, I am not coming to the ministry to start begging. If you want me to preach prosperity, better load my pocket. If you want me to preach enterprise, I'm not ready to say one word without example. And don't even bless them without blessing me first. Yes. How? Why will God? They then bless you and load your money, and I'll not be believing God for you to. Is that fair? So now sit down there, be driving a rickety car, then you be parking Ferrari and parking Mercedes Benz and parking there, and I say, "Well, Pastor, come and bless my car. I will bless the first one. Come on, you bless my car, bless it. Yeah, bless one, I will bless the other one." Then we bless your six figures. Then we bless your, then I now sit down and be waiting. Oh God, Jehovah, Lord, please remind them that they have a pastor. In the name of Jesus, remind them. Please remind them, Lord, favor me before your people. That will never happen. For what? So the way it is now is when I'm saying you are blessed, I'm saying you are out of abundance too. So if I, when I'm saying you are blessed, I'm saying welcome to the club. That's a proper pastor. Yeah, I studied my those who went before me. They didn't pray that prayer. They were waiting for sheep. I ain't no sheep. Oh, Salomon. Hey, I'm telling you, I study all of them. The ones that I complain, I look at their background. Is that something? They transferred, blessed everybody, hoping that one day they will remember. Nobody will remember you. Nobody. Hey, I should wait for you to remember me. Go for. What do you think? I should wait. Are you serious? Serious? Listen, Cheryl. What are you talking about? Man is a man. Is it fair? Exactly. I'm smart now, but from meaning. Do I look from heaven? Yeah, not from heaven. From publicity. Consider I'm doing Mugu. Are you doing Mugu? All of you will cut the anointing and the grace. Bless yourself, bless your family, bless your children. When you are coming, you'll be rolling like that. And then I'll see how they look at you. Be watching you and all your family of giving praising God. Look and see what blessing was in the other day. Pastor, I'm following you. I said, Mr. I'm following God. I'm following you. I'm following you, Pastor. I said, yeah. I'm following you. See how my life was 2 years ago. I said, See how it is now. I said, And I went to that big hotel. That hotel, I've not been there. You have been there. Can you not imagine? Can you not imagine if me too, wait now, you laugh too much. Can you not imagine if me too have not been to a big hotel? And I'm looking around like this. And when I got to the hotel, I said, I belong here. The man you are following has not said he's been there before. Beginning of pastor's frustration. They don't take Lord, if this anointing works, show it. So to them. You don't see all my children. If I not all my children, have you not seen others around me? Look at church. You know, look at those around me. Look at them. So it is so loaded in. You can't come around me. And that thing doesn't rub off on you. Look at those in my inner circle. Look at those in my inner circle. Do you know what I'm saying? That's why when they say they want to buy a house, I say, come, plug your own in. Hey, they plug their own in, and they take theirs. What if I didn't sort myself out like that? And the man of God carries all that power, and he didn't sort himself out. Then he's waiting for them to buy their houses first. And then remember him. Oh, frustration. When you see them, one man came to see me, a great man of God. He said, Pastor, I said, what? He said, I'm bitter. I said, why? He said, I lost my building because of these people. And I gave all to them. It's every time I'm preaching, I'm angry. What the hell did we get here? Know the source of the promise. But here, my inner circle is watertight. As for me and my house and our spiritual children, what? Can you see how? Wow. I give a testimony. You see our son here, this minister. Why? Last month he came. He said, Pastor, the industry was just blowing him back and forth, couldn't get a house. I said, you know what? One day I just woke up, I just thought about him. I just got angry. I called him, I said, come. I said, two of us. I said, go and book every Wednesday in my diary. You can't buy a house? He said, yes. Bam. Every Wednesday in my diary, go and book every 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. I mean, was it 5 to 6 or five to six every Wednesday? And let me see the devil that will say you won't buy. He said to do what? I said, just come. If we have anything to say, if we have nothing to say, just sit down and we'll be smiling at each other. He said, Pastor, is it canceling? I said, it's not canceling. Just come first. So they came the first Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Come the second Wednesday. December. Was it December? November, December last year. Came the first Wednesday. Came the first, second Wednesday. Came the third Wednesday. By the third Wednesday, our prophet in principle came. But this year they moved in. Have you moved in?
Yeah.
Hey, praise God. Don't clap. It's not for entertainment. But I need to understand that you need to know the source of the promise. That's what we're talking about. That this is not a worldly contract with worldly wording. The promises of God are not a worldly. So what I'm sharing with you, I have practiced them, and I am loaded. I'm not that kind of leader that get into something and don't want to take people along. No. I am loaded with them. That is, I'm giving you my understanding, my mind right now. This is not a governmental contract. Where I come from, in the nation of Amidala, we don't honor contracts. Where I come from, they are like rogues. They will take government contracts. They will use their contract to build houses, buy great cars. They won't fulfill the contract. So many of them think that is how God is. If he says that you are a blessing, he won't deliver the goods because they are corrupt themselves. It is not. It is not a governmental recommendation. It is not New Age philosophy. No. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit. They carry divine nature. And so when I collapse my mind, my thoughts, my focus into God's promises, into his word, then I receive divine nature. And I first of all use that divine nature, sort myself out from my head to. As someone was trying, believing God for he was saying, giving testimony, he said he's not failed before. I just left him, was just doing his own thing. And then one day I said, this boy. I said, I just left him just playing up and down. I said, I've not prayed for him. So I called him, I said, come, where are you going to today? He said, I have this interview. I said, come here. I said, I've not prayed for you. He said, he checked the answer, I can't find anointing. I said, okay, I said, we don't need anointing for this one. And then as he just kept, bam! Drop the hand on his head. I said, go. And that was the testimony he gave on Sunday. It's a divine nature. You need to have that. You need to have that. You need to have that. And if you have it, you know it. And if you don't have it, then work on it to get it. Do you understand? So this source of this promise, God sent, God approved, God guaranteed promise. God sent, God approved, God guaranteed promise, his promises. So we are talking about your mindset and your attitude because God will do all that he has commanded. But you need to be of a particular mindset to do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. God sent. So understand the source of that promise. It's a faithful promises, the Bible says. You know? I mean, look at. It says, look at Numbers 23. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? And has he spoken, and will he not make it good? God is not your neighbor. God is not your neighbor. Your attitude is what determines whether God will make this happen to you or not. God is not your neighbor. God is not my neighbor. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 1 Kings 8:56, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. 1 Kings 5:56, write that, look, pull it up. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people according to all he promised. He gives rest according to all his promised. So this month is a month of your rest. It's not a month of your struggle because God has given you his promises. So that means that you are coming into divine rest this year. It's not a year we struggle. It's not a year. The only thing you need to struggle for is to struggle to embrace the promises of God. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people according to all that he promised, that has not failed one word of his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. Can you see that? This is your mind this year. This is your mind this year. You take your focus away from what is happening around you and zone in. Create a path for yourself and zone in, because you must be full of divine nature this year. And that is by holding on to that promise. That promise transfers divine power through your entire body, your entire mind, your entire mind, your soul, your body, what you see, the things that you have come in contact with. So I carry that same divine nature. And so that's why I can say, come, you have that issue? Come here, come and sit here. Sit here, let's be talking. Let's just start talking. What we talk, I don't know. But stay, hang around this first. Hang around this. And take some shock waves. Take some shock waves. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast. Bring it up quickly. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, right? For he who promised is what?
Faithful.
Uh-huh. For he who promises what? Faithful. But he says, let us what? Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. You keep your hand on that promise without wavering. Amen? For he who promised is faithful. And then you put sink in your teeth. You know what? You do it for a long time. It becomes part of you. That's what I'm asking that we do this year. That at the end of 2017, all of us will be manifesting like my God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We had a brilliant testimony. Femi, come and share that testimony very quickly. The testimony of you and your mantle, so we can. So let me close the service here. I'll give them one more scripture. Yeah.
We used our property, we changed utility supply from British Gas to someone else. And British Gas sent us about 3 or 4 different bills from £150 to £2. And then they also sent while they were investigating, they sent it to a debt collector. So I called British Gas and they were investigating into it. We got our mantles, went home, pastor said, pull out any red bills you have.
How many of you remember that?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So we went home, put the mantle on top of it, prayed over it, and they were supposed to call me back today to tell me what's going on. So when they called back, they said that first and foremost, they checked nothing's on any credit files. The bill they finally settled on was £16 something. And then because they've inconvenienced us, they're going to write off the bill and we have nothing to pay.
Come on, say divine nature. Amen. Come on, say what? Come on, say what? Divine. Can you now imagine that is a regular occurrence in every area of your life? Can you now imagine? Can you now imagine? And it is possible. That is what we are talking about. The manifestation of divinity in your humanity. It is possible. It is possible. It is possible. The other woman, the other day, said she tied this in her ankle and she woke up the following day and she was completely healed. Today we are hearing about death, translation. Now for some people, that could just be the beginning of another problem entirely. For some people, it just becomes I don't know, I called them, they called me, and I called them again, they called me, and they called my mother, I called their father, and so where are you now? I'm in court. Very easily, very, very easily. Someone was sharing testimony with me. I've shared something with you the other day. What happened? You know, you left your house, put somebody else in charge, and then the other person, when the bill came, and the person hid it, and instead of paying the bills, he refused to pay the bills. And then from nowhere, case is in court. And before you knew it, we were talking about CCJ. So all of a sudden, what we're now fighting about is that let us rescue his name. Let me think, things can easily slip. and degenerate quickly. Do you understand? So give the don't give the devil any foothold. We're staying focused. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. One more scripture and then we close. Are you blessed? Okay. Second Peter 3, verse 9. And we'll close here. Second Peter 3, verse 9. Bring this one up. Second Peter 3, verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Not slack. As some count slackness. But is long-suffering towards us. So that's why we should wait for it. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. He's not slack concerning his promises. God holds his promises dear and precious. He will make it happen. But the question is, can you hold on or will you call him slack? Can you hold on or are you going to call God slack? And then give up, quit, or stop doing the righteous things you ought to do? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Rise to your feet as we close tonight. I want you to raise your hand to heaven and ask God for divine visitation. Divine visitation. It's our month of his revelation. Visit me, Holy Spirit. Visit me, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus. Come on, pray. Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. Help me pray that prayer. Father, we just thank you. We bless your holy name. We give you all the glory. We give you all the adoration. Thank you because you will visit us and you will move us forward forcefully, powerfully in every area of our lives. This is this year. This is that year of divine rest. We will rest because your promises are yea and amen. Father, we thank you. Father, I pray for your children. I pray for your hand over them. I pray for your hand over them. I pray for your hand over them. I pray for the manifestation of your spirit in their lives. I pray for divine visitation in the name of Jesus. Father, I decree, oh God, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Amen. Every tongue that rises against the Father, we condemn in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you. Lord, I bless your holy name. Thank you because your promises are yea and amen. And they will come to pass speedily and quickly in the life of your children. Thank you, Father, because indeed you will bless this house this year. Father, we thank you because you will fill us, oh God, we will overflow in every area. Across our three services, Father, we thank you because you will compel men to come, compel women to come, compel children to come and sit that your house may be full according to your word. In the mighty name of Jesus. Pour out your spirit upon us, oh God, and use us in this area. In Jesus' name we pray and the family say,
amen.
And the family say,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.